Fuse Box. This is Fuse Box number 245. Moon Meat. Is that for real? I mean,
as real as you or I, Mr. Keynes.
Alrighty. Moon Meat. You have clearly bitten off more than you can chew.
Nom nom.
Well, see, now that'll teach you to chew your food properly. Even if it was moon meat. Greetings, friends, and welcome in to this, the aforementioned 245th edition of Fusebox, and I'm your 100% grass-fed and free-range host, Mark Rose, and over there, barbecue tongs in hand and wearing a bib with your picture on it is the potentate of the parametric, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Well, thank you kindly. Seriously, though, moon meat.
Yes, seriously. We'll dig a bit deeper into all that coming up. But in short, it's just more gristle for the mill. Coming from that area down there, in that area down there.
Oh, should have known.
Yes, we're actually finding ourselves overwhelmed of late with insanity emanating from the People's Republic of Florida. We have a couple of grand ones coming up. We also have part two of our interview with the newly elected president of Weird Portland United, Christine Lassiter. And if you haven't heard the first part of this chat, well, you know, you oughta, shoulda. She has a fascinating story of how she came to be here and her quest to find her own inner weird. And on this concluding part, we look at the future of Weird Portland United and what some of her plans are as the new president. But also she gives us a peek at the process of making the now infamous We Are the Weird video, which we have a link to in the show description, as well as the whole bloody thing for you to watch in our YouTube version of this very show.
Because that's just how we roll.
It is indeed. Yes. So, stick around, friends. All that and so much less is coming right up.
And not a speck of cereal.
I'll drink to that.
It's finally here. Issue 3 of Grindhouse Resurrection magazine. They said it couldn't be done, and they were almost right. Because of the squeeze being applied to small publishers these days by mega corporations, it's becoming harder and harder to get these magazines printed. Add to that the twitchy algorithm that now looks for sensitive keywords like grindhouse and whatever else is the trigger du jour. But they couldn't stop this one. Banned on Amazon, as the cover proclaims, it's 76 pages crammed edge to edge. There's an interview with the late Gary Kent and his experiences with the Manson family. This one may ring a bell, friends. We know it rang Quentin Tarantino's bell. He turned this story into Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. There's so much more. Supplies are limited, so pick up a copy today before they're gone or swallowed up by an algorithm. Find them at 42ndStreetPete.net.
It's the show for everybody, but not everybody will like it.
TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Well, friends, our senior foreign correspondent from that area down there, in that area, down there, Gregory Wilson, he has sent us a virtual barge load of news from the Sunshine Hate. And we got to start with this one. as it's the reason for the title of this episode of the show, Moon Meat.
Bring it.
Well, the Florida House gave its final approval to what appears to be, anyway, a very wide-ranging bill that would ban lab-grown meat.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. The, clearly, Republican-controlled House voted 86-27 to approve the bill, SB 1084, which is now ready to go to Governor Ron the Sandslug post-haste. The bill would make several changes related to the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Now, of course, as you might imagine, Democrats took aim at parts of the bill that would ban the sale and manufacture of what's referred to as cultivated meat, which Ron the Sandslug has denounced as fake meat.
Wait, though. Isn't he fake meat?
Well, I can't think of anything that would want to eat the governor, Mr. Keynes. Yeah. Republican Christine Honschofsky said, the food fight part of the bill sends a bad message to researchers and investors about cultivated meat, which is often known as lab-grown meat. Now, just as an aside, friends, this lab-grown meat thing, it's not new. Now, remember the last time you went to KFC? I digress. House bill sponsor Danny Alvarez said questions remain about the safety of cultivated meat. He said selling cultivated meat needs to wait, though research over time might show it is viable for consumption. Quoting him here, if you believe that we are doing this because we know that Florida agriculture can hold us down and provide plenty of safe, quality beef and agricultural products, you are absolutely correct. And if you believe we are banning this so we are safer, you are also correct.
And if you believe we have been bought and sold by the beef lobby, you are also correct.
Now, the measure, which, as we say, has passed in the Senate, would allow research into cultivated meat. Production, it apparently involves a process of taking a small number of cultured cells from animals and growing them in controlled settings to make this stuff. Here's where it gets fascinating, friends. A potential research ban was removed from earlier versions of the bill because of concerns that such a ban could affect the space industry, which is looking at cultivated meats for long-term space journeys, right? So Representative Dean Black from Jacksonville said, well, it's just fine to develop moon meat for astronauts, but cattlemen like himself aren't crazy about it. I think they can make it on the moon and export it on Mars. And it's fine to have Martian meat as well, Black said. If you go to the moon, if you go to Mars, you should be allowed to get it there. But you sure as heck shouldn't be able to get it anywhere in this country. And sure as heck, not here in Florida. The bill would make it a second-degree misdemeanor to sell or manufacture lab-grown meat.
Oh no. 30 days in meat prison.
And then this morsel of purest gaslightery. Governor Ron the Sandslug has once and for all cleared the air on all this book banning going on in his state.
Really?
Well, in his mind anyway. He says there, in fact, is no book banning going on in the state. And if they want to know who's behind this hoax, well, they don't have to look any farther than the teachers.
What?
Yes, sir. It's those evil and conniving educators. They're behind the whole nefarious thing. He says reports of the thousands of books being removed from the school shelves is merely a phony narrative It's all just a big fraud. It's the teachers who are creating these narratives for political purposes. And then there are the activists and bad actors, random people who don't even have kids in the school system. They've hijacked the process of filing objections to a wide range of classic books just to try to create a narrative that Florida is banning everything. However, 3 books published by Ripley Entertainment recently appeared on a list of 1,600 suspicious titles in Escambia County, Florida. The publisher, which is based in Florida, is proudly celebrating that its books have been snagged along with classic works by Maya Angelou and Ernest Hemingway and Charles Dickens. As a matter of fact, to commemorate this honor, Ripley is offering a free copy of the annual edition of Ripley's Believe It or Not to any Florida resident who requests it, all the way through May 15th, while supplies last. Ryan DeSeer, a vice president at Ripley, says, "We've been a company for actually 106 years now, and we've never faced anything quite like this. In our mind, you've just got to kind of laugh at it and turn lemons into lemonade." DeSeer also says that having the company's books pulled for further examination and possible banning is likely to be an entry in their next year's edition of Ripley's Believe It or Not. He thinks it's hilarious. After all, this is the publisher you call if, in DeSeer's words here, you make Pablo Picasso out of lint. More than 2,000 requests for free copies of Ripley's Believe It or Not have already come in. If we can just inspire one person to read just a little bit more, we've succeeded, DeSeer says. And I'd have to agree with him.
And I say, we throw the book at Ron.
Decisions, decisions. What's a Supreme Court justice to do? TheFuseBoxShow.com.
So friends, without further puff and buzzle, we have part 2 of the interview we did with Christine Lassiter coming to you right here on this
The Fuse Box Interview.
Tell us a little bit about We Are the Weird.
Yes. So the podcast that I do, I interview people who are weird, big weird, little weird, and their journey to become their true authentic self, and as a way of digging that out of myself. And then in the studio where I record SDF Collective in Gresham, the sound engineer that was there, you know, they loved everybody I brought in because I was bringing in all the weirds to their studio. Loved it. And I came out of an interview and the sound engineer said, "Hey, you should make a music video with all the weirds." And I was like, "Oh, that's hilarious." And then 5 minutes later, I'm like, "Hey, Amy, who's the owner?" I'm like, "Jory thinks I should make a video of all the weirds, a music video." I said, "Well, I should do a, you know, a We Are the World." And then it just like that. It was that fast. I said, "Oh my God, We Are the Weird." And and I just saw it. It was like it played out in my brain. But some funny things happen with that, because it's like I don't sing bad karaoke or in my car really loud.
Although you did a pretty good job in that video.
I'll tell you, I was not even supposed to be doing that. There was the Portland Sleestack, Brent Maher. He had just done his own video. He did a short movie called Sleestack's Big Adventure. And I had previously interviewed him and I'd gone to his movie premiere. So I was like, "Well, he knows a little something about production, so I'll talk to him." And then I just posted on Facebook that I was looking at doing this. And at this point, I'd only interviewed 15 weirds. That's the only people I knew in the weird community personally. So put that Facebook message out that just saying, you know, "If you're interested in doing this, join this Facebook group." In really less than 48 hours, there were 60 people that were already signed up into that group. And I was like, that was both exciting. And then it also hit me like, I've started something without really considering the process.
Mm-hmm. So you'd have to solicit all this
stuff. All of it. And with, I mean, I don't have money for making a music video. It never even occurred to me, like, all of the things that would need to happen. But very quickly, with that group, there was a lot of resources in that. I asked permission from the powers that be. Mm-hmm. Could we do a parody of We Are the World? And I got back a little email that said, no. I just said, you cannot do that. Michael Jackson would not allow you to do that. I mean, he's, I don't know what he could say about it now, but. Yeah.
His estate could say something.
Yeah. So I was like, that's odd. Why? And I had to just respond and go, how do these other people do it? And I sent examples. And this person who at this attorney's office where I sent this, they said, I don't have time to give you a dissertation, and then wrote the longest email I've ever seen in my life. It went off on the Westboro Baptist Church. It went off on anti-vaxxers. It went off on a lot of things that had nothing to do with the fact that our little weird community wanted to make a little fun video. We were having our songwriters were coming together for our first meeting mm-hmm. that night, the day I got the absolutely you cannot do this email. So I had to go into the meeting and go, hey, guys, so sorry. We can't actually use We Are the World. I asked. They said no. Mm. And, of course, everybody's response is, what about Weird Al? I'm like, I know.
Right, right.
But I asked. They said no. We actually have an attorney, a copyright attorney on our board mm-hmm. and even confirmed with them. And they said, yeah, if you hadn't asked, you would have been fine, but now you're on the radar.
Yeah, there you go.
As for forgiveness, not permission.
That's right. That's right.
So that meant we had to actually write a whole new mm-hmm. song, which really was not appealing to several people, which mm-hmm. I totally understand. That's a whole different ballgame. That's starting from scratch. In the meantime, I had talked to Brian and asked him if he wanted to be in the video as well, because you want the Unipiper to be in your little weird video. Right. And he said, yeah. And he said, I think this should be the theme of the gala. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Let's add one more layer
on. Oh, my God. And it started building into this like snowball going downhill. Then I thought, there is no stopping it now. Now it has to happen. I have to make this happen. But fortunately, with all of the creative people that wanted to be involved, we weren't getting any progress with the team writing the song. And I was like, okay, Christine, this was your little idea. And so I ended up writing the song. Now, to be fair, I did use AI, but just mostly for the structure because it needed to be very personal to our city. Mm-hmm. So then I went in and it gave me the structure and I went in and wrote the song from that. And we had the composer come on. Sadly, I sang it to him. But he was able to write the music from me singing the song.
He did a great job, too.
The whole idea was that we wanted it to be for those of us of a certain age that remember mm-hmm. the original. We wanted it to be where people, when they saw the video, that they're like, oh, this is what they're doing. And for younger people, they would just think, well, that's a lot of weird going
yes,
on there.
Exactly.
We were able to pull together, an editor came in, Jory, the guy that made this suggestion, bless his heart, he's only 26. I mean that in the nice way, not in the East Texas way, but he's only 26 years old. He was so excited, but he had never even heard the song.
Yeah.
Also, this was a bigger thing than he'd ever done before.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because in our main choir, God, there was, I don't know, like 30 people. There were so many people that showed up for this. It was shocking.
Yeah.
And the most amazing part for me was to see all of these people who were a part of this weird community who had never met. And it was just an amazing, they were fangirling over each other. And I was just like, you know that y'all are all these incredible fixtures. And mm-hmm. but it was such a beautiful thing to see them come together and meet each other for the first time. There had not been a big collaboration like this, and there had not been this size of a collection together. And we only scratched the surface. And Weird Portland United, the whole purpose is to celebrate, amplify, and incubate you know, the weird, and that's one of the things I really want to work on this. And the video was like a catalyst for this. It really did help me gain all of these relationships because a ton of them I had not interviewed yet.
Yeah.
So they didn't know me. I mean, the fact that they even signed on for something, and it was funny because in all of the meetings that we'd have, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I'm a mortgage broker. I don't know why. I don't know what I'm doing.
That's great.
And one of the things that I'm adamant about is making sure that we are representing all of the weird, not just the characters, mm-hmm. but the artists, the performers, all these small businesses, mm-hmm. Every bit of it. I want I want to really amplify
Excellent.
All of this, because I just did a call out on social media about, hey, I'm looking to start collecting all the weird. And the amount of responses, astronomical. They were imagine. Just everybody is like, they were suggesting other people, they were, and it's every kind of weird you could imagine. And I was like, this is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The city is packed full. It is thriving out there, and I think that once we kind of get it more to the forefront and do more media stuff. One of the things I'm working on, we did the gala last year, which is a fundraiser that we do, and it was great fun. It was wonderful. But the thing I noticed about the gala was, first of all, it mostly centered around the costume characters, mm-hmm. which is great, you know, but that's not as inclusive as right. I'd like it to be. Also, you know, the tickets, $45 for your main general admission, that's out of range for a lot of people. And, you know, and the fact that it was 21 up. Great event. It was wonderful to do it, but I want to shift gears. I want to be much broader in all of this. I want to be bigger in all of this. If we are talking about incubating weird, you have to show the young people, the kids, the weird.
Yeah.
And you can imagine being 12 years old, you're kind of odd man out at school, you're feeling kind of odd. Even here, that can happen. And then you go to a Weird Portland Festival where you see all of this weird. You see the artists, the performers, the characters, you see all of it in one place. They're going to know that, hey, I can be the weird kid
Absolutely.
Now, and look how cool it would be to mm-hmm. grow up to be the weird adult.
Right.
And to know that not only is that okay, but it's celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of pushing out the gala. I really want something that really encompasses all the facets of weird. I want it to be something accessible, ticket prices reasonable, mm-hmm. Families involved, mm-hmm. And to include, you know, so much more of the weird community.
It's just a great idea.
Why do we not already have a weird festival?
I don't know. I think there are pockets expressed, like the Oregon Country Fair and
sure.
stuff like that, but you got to go a ways. And this is a germinating point for a lot of the stuff that goes other places.
Well, right. You know, and there's the UFO festival
yep.
and there's the Bigfoot festival, mm-hmm. you know, and there's all these little things. But when our motto is keep Portland weird.
Right.
Which we did steal from Austin, but we are much weirder than Austin now. I mean, Austin's had a lot of gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some, but not to that extent that some of the other cities have. And again, this is something that the city should be getting behind, because what a positive for our city.
Mm-hmm.
People would come from far away to come and see all of this in one place.
Absolutely.
You know, it just makes good sense.
Good business
it's
sense.
It's good business sense. And I do know business sense.
Well, and you do know unicorns, evidently, because your alter ego, Aurelia Star Dancer, I mean, this is... Hopefully, you'll see this picture. There is a wonderful costume. Now, did you make this costume or did you have this constructed? Because this is a thing.
I made it.
This is a thing.
It was, again, with my podcast, it spurred out of an interview with, as I'm talking to all these people, and they're the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence and in all of them, and they are talking about making the space. And then I got to be on the street corner with the Portland Sleestak when he was all dressed up after our interview for like an hour and a half. We stood out there and all of the people coming up to him. And I mean, everybody was just, he made his costume too. And it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And just to see the, not only the joy that it brought every person who saw him,
mm-hmm.
the joy that he had. And I was like, God, this is such a cool thing. It's a reciprocal thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a one-way thing.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I never would have thought I was going to be a costume character. There was no part of me. Mm. And whatever I was going to gain from being weird, I didn't want it to be forced. I wanted it to be organic.
Right.
Because that's the only way I could really truly do it. And then one day in Multnomah Village, I was ahead of the Halloween thing that they do every year.
Oh.
Dressed up as a unicorn. Not a full-bodied unicorn, just, you know, just kind yeah. of a fun costume. I was like, oh, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to be a unicorn. I walked through and the kids loved it. I mean, they were like, that. You would have thought they had seen, I don't know,
yeah.
Santa Claus or yeah. something. They were so excited to see it. And I was like, I wonder if I can take that and make it a centaur kind of thing. And so I found I don't know how to make a centaur. Like, I don't know how to make a music video. I don't know how to do a lot of things I do. So I looked online, as one does, because I feel like I can do brain surgery if I watch a YouTube video on how to do it.
That is our day. Yes, that is right.
And I found this gal in Denver, and she's a centaur. She has a little centaur group. And because she had done such a great job on her costume, and I guess so many people had asked her how to do it, she wrote a little how-to PDF book.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, that looks simple enough. Bought it for $15 and then went to work and built Aurelia Star Dancer.
But the feet, I mean, the feet, back and front, they work independently.
And it's not very heavy. The first time I took her out in public, I took her to the Saturday market.
Perfect.
And the feet clomp like yep. real horse. I mean, I'm walking across there and it's clunk, clunk, clunk. I mean, it sounded like a horse was coming.
Oh,
and you could see immediately on people's faces when they spotted me because they were like, what the hell am I seeing? Cameras went up immediately. They were just like, what am I seeing? Of course, people would come up and want pictures, which people would ask permission if they could take pictures. And I'm like, I'm dressed as a centaur. Obviously, you can take pictures of me. Yeah. I'm okay with attention.
Yeah.
And the men would come up and they'd be like, how do the feet work?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like, exactly.
You know, that's what they wanted to know, is the mechanics of it all. And it was just, again, when I talk about that reciprocal feeling, I had people telling me, I was there for 2 hours. You're so beautiful, you know, and you're like, God, well, you know, that doesn't happen in my day-to-day life.
Not probably.
You know, so they just got incredible joy out of it. You could see the second they were in awe
mm-hmm.
as soon as they saw me. What a special thing that is. Just last weekend went to the Winter Light Festival. She's pretty new.
Yeah.
You know, this happened right before the music video.
Wow.
So this has only been 6 months. And even with that, I mean, I haven't taken her out much. And so I took her to the Winter Light Festival last weekend. It was packed out. I mean, there was an insane amount of people there.
Mm.
And I couldn't get 2 feet without somebody stopping. I mean, as soon as I got out of the car and got her situated,
yeah.
I mean, I couldn't get from the drop off, not even into the festival yet, like just from the drop off, people were stopping me right away. And I had
There's no way to ignore this character.
Oh, no.
There's no way.
The funniest thing that happened was, well, people would see me from the front and I was pretty decked out and I had a big lit up umbrella because I was light festival, and you know, they see me from the front and they're like, oh my God, can we take your picture? And then they would notice the back. I'm like, what were you taking with my picture before this? You know, yes, I'm kind of all in white, it's very, you know, but I'm like,
but it continues.
The real thing the real thing's in the back so it struck me as funny that people would see me first from the front, not even seeing the back. It was remarkable. I'm hoping to go back out tonight. We're going to be in the Mardi Gras parade on Tuesday.
Fantastic.
So we're doing a lot. I can dress in my normal attire however I want to. Nobody will do a second glance. But if I dress as Aurelia,
oh yeah,
that it's almost comical to me, because you would think in Portland seeing. I mean, I've seen a lot of interesting stuff here in Portland in the 6.5 years I've been here. So you almost wouldn't expect it to get the reaction that it does, but it does.
It's a joyous character.
And I asked Brian, I asked him, first of all, do you ever get nervous? Because he's been doing this for a while.
Long time, yeah.
So do you ever get nervous getting out there and doing it? He's like, oh, yeah. And I said, oh, really? After all this time? He goes, yeah, every time. I said, have you ever had a negative reaction? He said, not one time. And I thought, you know, that's such an incredible thing. And when I first get out there, I'm kind of like imposter syndrome. Like,
of course.
I'm not weird. Why? What am I doing? I'm not weird. Why am I here? What am I doing? I feel like that in all the aspects of what I've been working on. But you know, the second the first person stops me and then I'm like, that's why I'm here.
That's right.
What I'm doing.
Well, she's just got some great plans for the future of Weird Portland United, and we can't wait to see how all that develops.
Yeah, you know, I really dig the idea of inclusion, too. You know, rather than making it a kind of a club, open it up to everyone. I mean, hell, there's enough weird in this town to fill a stadium.
Just so. And I'd invite everyone to check out Christine's podcast as well. It's called Finding My Own Weird, and we have a link to it in the show description there. But also, we have a link to the We Are the Weird video also in the aforementioned show description, and the whole thing is embedded in our YouTube version of this very show. So go ahead, please, and check it out. You will have a blast. I will also be posting the complete interview that I did with Christine on our Patreon page, so if you're a member of that there thing, go check out the full and overstuffed enchilada. And with that, friends, we'll call it a show, but not before thanking our contributors to this one, Christine Lassiter, Bruce Miles, and our senior foreign correspondent, Gregory Wilson. Thanks, as always, to the Intracoastal Man of Mystery, the Baron of Biamplification, Milk Canes for technical assistance, and so forth and so on.
True Slice, as always. And folks, you can help us out a whole bunch by becoming a member supporter of ours on that there Patreon thing. You'll get free swag and all sorts of cool stuff just for signing up.
Yes, you will. You'll also get early show releases and access to exclusive materials. A band in Florida.
Maybe Utah.
It's a possibility, Mr. Keynes. Yeah. Go to patreon.com/ The Fusebox Show. And for less than you spend a month on that box of tuna-flavored wine, you can support this show for an entire year.
Yeah, it smells better, too.
Thanks as well to our friends at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their kind support. And we understand this current issue is flying off the shelves, and we're delighted to hear that. Check them out at 42ndStreetPete.net for all those details. And, of course, thanks to you, friends, for bravely going where no listener has gone before.
Altoona?
Worse, Bayonne. Yeah. Well, we truly appreciate your kind indulgence and spending some of your valuable time with us here. I have been your pedal to the metal, but only at crosswalks. Host Mark Rose saying, until our next cartoon.
Fuse.